Hi there, and welcome to this ISIS Chemical News Central podcast for the week starting Monday, the 17th of January, 2011. I'm Simon Robinson.
And I'm Nigel Davis, and we're bringing you a selection of the news published across the ISIS group over the past week. You can find us in all the usual places at www.isis.com, on Podomatic and on iTunes. And of course, you can download the RSS feed for these shows from the latter two sites.
Certainly can, Nigel. Busy week this week. First lot of M&A for
Very busy, yeah. There was a bit of M&A activity, announcements rather, before the holiday period. But then we've come in big time, certainly this past week. And of course, this is recorded on Friday, the 14th. Of course, first this week was the DuPont deal with Danisco, an offer to buy the company for $6.3 billion in total. That's dollars. Big Danish biotechnology and food ingredients company, sure. Danisco. DuPont's had long-standing relationships with the firm. They produce propane diol from bio.
A bio route. Because DuPont has, the last big deal DuPont had was with Pioneer Hybrid, wasn't it, in seed. So there must be some kind of similarity between
there's a
the
big,
two.
There's a big link here. I mean, if you look at the processes that will basically take seeds through to either new biofuels or biofuels from different resources,
sure,
or new chemicals even.
Then, or new routes. So we were talking about bioisoprene, weren't we?
That's right. I mean, Danisco has a joint venture with Goodyear to produce bioisoprene. Its joint venture with DuPont makes, as I said, biopropane diol, and then the Sirona polymer that DuPont sells off the back of that. They're looking at second generation, or rather next generation,
biofuels,
bioethanol.
Yeah.
So you sort of bioethanol from cellulosics as opposed from the agricultural commodity itself. So it's got a lot of the toolkit that DuPont will need to grow its bio businesses.
Sure.
And also it gives DuPont also much stronger presence in nutritional products. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a food ingredients company too. And so that ticks the megatrends box, or two megatrends boxes, I suppose. Well, yes. I mean, it's important because, I mean, we've written about this before, that a lot of companies and their executives talk about megatrends, but not that many chemical companies actually directly address certain mega trends.
True.
And of course, you know, energy consumption, new routes to energy, if you can call it that, new sources of energy. This addresses that directly, and of course it addresses the nutritional side of things as well.
Well, the world population tending towards 7 billion people, then we're going to need as much food as we can get, I guess. The other big deal this week was between Ineos and PetroChina, or their parents, CNPC.
Agreements were signed in London this week when the Chinese deputy premier came to the UK on a whirlwind European trip. And an agreement between Ineos and the oil giant PetroChina and that company's parent, China National Petroleum Corporation. Firstly, this is an agreement to agree. This is the way Ineos described it to us. An agreement to agree. They're now going to move forward to really talk about how they're going to joint venture as far as the Ineos refining business is concerned. And that's two refineries. That's a refinery at Grangemouth in Scotland and at the Vera in the south of France. Both very important refineries, both heavily into producing diesel. Mm-hmm. So good refineries. Great step for PetroChina. It gets it into the European refining market.
Absolutely.
Expands its presence clearly. Great news for Ineos, really, too. We don't know any financial details of what the companies might be talking about. No indication, really, at all. But, I mean, clearly, I think it's going to be a 50-50 venture as far as the refineries are concerned.
Sure.
It secures investment for those refineries. So, from the Ineos standpoint, you know, they're saying to their workforce, particularly, well, hey, folks, you know, we're going to keep these things, things going. But also, it links Ineos to this huge petroleum refiner out of China. It gives the deal with CNPC means that Ineos is expecting to lever its technology, and it has various technologies that it acquired from ICI and
others. You talk about acrylate technology, was it?
No, it was the acrylonitrile.
Sorry, acrylonitrile technology.
Acrylonitrile. Also, got polyolefins technology acquired from BP, and you've got PVC, chlorine, old ICI technology, that it can start to possibly use in ventures which would involve PetroChina, presumably, in China or maybe even elsewhere. I mean, so it's a question of watch this space as far as Ineos is concerned.
Definitely.
And of course, Ineos will please its bankers because it is likely to get a fair chunk of money with which it can pay down some more debt.
Always a good thing with bankers. Now, there's more fallout with the BP oil spill report. Wasn't somebody saying they wouldn't bet on there being more deep-sea drilling in the Gulf for a decade?
Well, that was one energy insider from one of our reporters. He said, I wouldn't be ready to bet that new deep-water drilling will resume in the Gulf within 10 years. It was a quote from him.
So we get good odds for that, I should think.
Yeah, but really, I think the report, which we've been expecting for some time, and mm-hmm. a chapter was released a bit earlier than the main report itself, suggestions really that the whole disaster was a significant error of management. But really, they were saying that it was not a fault of one company. Rather, it was the result of a systemic failure in the oil and gas industry. So pretty damning, really, when you start to read it.
And so it sounds like, you know, it sounds like they've been very lucky for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, as you might imagine, I mean, oil industry bodies suggest that the commission was full of politicians, activists, opponents of the offshore drilling. But that having been said, you know, the report really comes out mm-hmm. and lambasts the industry for missing it on all sorts of levels. But clearly, we'll hear a lot more. We'll get a lot more output from that report as time goes on. And of course, we've got some breaking news that we need to talk about now, I suppose, is that yesterday, that's the 13th.
That's right.
A barge overturned on the Rhine River, mm-hmm. one of its narrowest points. I think it might be its narrowest point, actually, near Koblenz.
That's right. Was it a cargo of sulfuric acid?
It was sulfuric acid, yes. And it's in a multi-hulled vessel.
So it's not leaked?
It's not leaked.
There were two crew members
missing. The Rhine has been closed. The Rhine's already suffering currently from very high water levels, mm-hmm. Early snow melt, I suppose. This has exacerbated the problems that producers and others who move product up and down the Rhine, you know, a major transport network for chemicals and other materials in Europe. And it looks as though, from what we're hearing now, is that the Rhine may be closed or not navigable, let's mm-hmm. put it that way, for past Monday. I mean, it's just not going to happen, just not going to persist over the weekend.
It'll be on the 17th, possibly. It'll be 18th, on the 17th. 19th.
Yeah,
we can't tell at the moment.
We can't tell, but you know, it's ongoing.